We've been talking this week about teaching your child how to listen, and one of the most significant things is where. Where do we do this? We're so busy, we're going so many places. Where is the venue for a time to actually listen to each other?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, this week talking about the how-tos of listening. We talked on Monday about why it's so important to teach listening, how it's going to affect their relationships, their decisions, and it's going to impact their growth and development as well. And then yesterday, really as the parent, setting the example in your marriage, in the day-to-day, in your family. But where do you do this? What are the actual occasions where you can teach this and display it?
Well, I think we're probably the second, maybe third generation in the history of man that's actually had to think about this. Prior to that, you finished your night and you didn't hop on your donkey and go to Little League practice. You finished your night, and if it was nice weather, you sat on the front porch. If it wasn't, you sat in front of the fireplace, and you were your own entertainment by actually listening and talking and knitting and being and whatever they did in that little one-room house thing. Now, because of really the invasion of the three T's, and the first T was transportation. Mechanized transportation changed everything. You can go and drop off, and then two pieces of transportation per home you can meet later on.
Mm-hmm.
The next one was the television, where we'd let somebody talk to us, and we really didn't have to learn how to listen because they were talking to us multidimensional. It was auditory and visual, and it wasn't like regular talking of two people. There was entertainment in the talking, and it's moving so quickly. And then the final T is technology. All these things have invaded us, so we haven't stopped and said enough. We're going to set aside times to communicate. So I think everybody, first of all, people have to decide if this is important. Is it important to teach my child to listen, to communicate? And the most significant part of communication is not speak so people will listen. It's listen so people will speak. And then find your place, find your time, whether it's dates away from the house or family times or just creating that. We at Sheridan House, we've had to do that in very different ways. One of the ways we did it was making dinner a situation where we would play a game around the table. And playing a game around the table, so it was fun for kids, especially the boys, to start actually talking rather than just eating and out of here. And you have to stay at the table. There's no leaving the table. And going around the table, everybody give me a card that starts with the letter A, and you get B and C, and go around until we drop out one at a time, or a state or a city or whatever it is. And just get people used to actually talking at the table, making it fun and laughing. And it's always best, I got to tell you, if the adult goes out first. It's always best if something happens and I can't think and everybody's trying to give you hints and everybody wants you to win and it's just absolutely hilarious. But I think it's creating the thought that we're staying at the table and then maybe graduated a little to ask questions, not just playing a game around the table, but ask questions. Your youngest ones will want to stay with the game. They're used to the game. They've played the game. They can finally do the game. Yes. Well, they can do it. Now you're asking bigger questions about what do you think about. And so it adds a dynamic of opinion and permitting opinion and permitting differing of opinion. But setting the place, is there a safe place for your kids to talk? And I think there are several venues in our lives that we actually don't use where we can talk.
One of the things that my mom always said as an adult later, when I became an adult, she said one of the best times, places where I got to really get to know you kids was in those long car drives that we had after school. I mean, I think it was like a 40-minute drive, and it was long. But she said I would always talk to you guys, and that was just prime time, and I always tried to take advantage of it. Of course, when she got home, she zonked out, took a nap, and then it was dinner time and homework and all that. So it was all over. But I always remember talking about stuff. She has tons of stories about our conversations in the car. So that's just one place.
No, she was intentional, too. And I didn't realize that she was right. Roby and I, years ago, we did a television interview, the two of us. And in that television interview, it was hilarious. And the commentator actually asked Roby, what are some of the things your dad did that you won't do as a parent, which was hilarious. But then at the end, we were having so much fun. And the guy said, it was a couple interviewing us on television, said, obviously, you two are very close. Did you say you're best friends? And we both said, oh, absolutely. And then he said, why? And I want to ask that to Roby. Why do you think we're best friends? And Roby said, I think it started on the 45-minute drive from school. You know, if mom would take us and dad would pick us up, I just had 45 minutes and talking. And I looked over at him on television and said, you slept through those drives. He said, I didn't sleep all the time, Dad. He said, there was some times that, you know, you were just jacked and been through too much coffee or
you
whatever.
You were talking
so
much.
And I was beat. I was just exhausted from what I dealt with in school. But most of the time, those are the times I remember. remember, mm-hmm. where we just process so much information. I mm-hmm. think the car is a wonderful time, but we've got to turn off our technology in that car.
And even in the house, too, because we can get so distracted. And I think it's a huge sign of respect and love, especially me growing up in a pastor's home where it was anytime the phone rang, you have to be available because that's what you do as a pastor's
I think you do.
Family.
I don't really believe that.
I'm just saying that was the expectation.
That was the expectation in your dad's generation.
Right, yes. Right. And to this day, I can remember sometimes being in the middle of a very good conversation and the phone rang. And I'm looking at my mom thinking, please don't pick that up, you know?
Oh, wow.
And please just say, forget it, you know? Or, you know, these days it would be the cell phone. The cell phone rings. Your teenager, your child knows the cell phone's ringing. And then they just, you can look at the phone and just put it right back to, you know what? I'll get it later. You're more important. And even saying it, that's huge. It might not react to it that way, but I think once they get older, they're
I think it's a huge lesson. Mm-hmm. And if you have to look at it because one family member is out of the house,
right?
You look at, okay, it's not mom and we don't need to pick it up. But case in point in what you said, when Roby was about 9, we were spending 2 nights a week putting together a model of an aircraft carrier on the kitchen table, newspapers all over, gluing this thing together. And I got a phone call, went up and got the phone, came back and worked on it, got a phone call. And I don't know, he says 9 or 10. I don't think it was 9 or 10. It's probably 4 or 5. But the last phone call I came, he was gone. And mm-hmm. the phone call said, it all said to him, you don't even know who it is and they're more important than me.
Right.
So that was the day we got the answer machine at our house and never turned it off. The answer machine at the Barnes house has never been turned off. We can hear who it is. We can hear what you're saying and we don't have to take the call. Here's the amazing thing. I don't take calls here at Sheridan House.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else takes the calls here at Sheridan House.
Well, you have a secretary.
But why would I take them at home? Is my family less important?
Right.
And so I'm acting like, no, it's important time at Sheridan House. Mm-hmm. It's just not important time at home. Deciding that the answer machine or the answer machine on your mobile, that's end of the day. That's who's going to take the call because I'm home. And making that statement to family, I think car is very important. I think especially for younger children, but all the way through the grades, really, I think bedtime is an enormous time. And your children, I know they trap you to keep you in the bedroom mm-hmm. by bringing...
Wait, I have something else.
It would always be the God question or the sex question.
Right.
So you feel like, how can I walk out on that question? But teaching them, and one of them would always make a place for me in the bed, wanting me to lie down in bed. And the other one always wanted me to sit, and I'd sit with my head back on the pillow on the side of the bed, and it would be hilarious. But this was the talk time, because it's dark in the room,
mm-hmm.
and I can't see the silly questions.
Mm-hmm.
And
they can make faces.
Yes. And well, I think there were also times when one of them was mad at me and wouldn't talk, and I would pick up one of her stuffed animals and I would talk to the stuffed animal and say, you know, whatever the animal's name was, Bear, I know that Tori's very mad at me right now because she had to go to bed early and I'm not sure totally why she's mad and I'm not going down that road again, Bear, of what she did to get in bed early. But Bear, what do you think I should say to Tori right now? And, you know, talking in some way so that she begins to hear and begin to open the conversation with mm-hmm. her. I think bedtime is a wonderful time with your kids. And I think so often we get in the mode they are finally in bed. And mm-hmm. I think we miss gold,
mm-hmm.
a golden opportunity just to sit on the side of the bed. So you talked really about a couple things in the teaching of the listening process. And one is turn off the other things they're listening to, the phone, the television, technology, whatever it is, and then set the stage, whether it's in the car, whether it's sitting on the back patio with a child, whether it's sitting on the side of their bed. But with that, understanding that the purpose is to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to help them listen. And the purpose is to affirm them when they do listen and you hear them. And say, Tori, I want to say something to you. Tonight I watched something happen at the dinner table that was absolutely masterful on your part. Roby was talking and talking and talking. And I saw that you wanted to say something. And I was watching it, and you started and you backed off immediately. Or Roby looked at you like you were cutting him off. And you resisted the temptation to say, but Roby, you're doing all the talking right now. You resisted and you just sat back and listened. You did the discipline of listening. Why do you think you did that? And just let them go. Mm-hmm. Just let them talk. Let them process. And, well, I don't know, Dad. I know he did a lot of talking, but I think what you did was brilliant. You let whatever it was, you let him get it out of his system. I think we need to affirm those moments when we catch a child actually listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to maybe give him a little quiz every now and then on what was that mom said? And what do you think she meant by that at the dinner table? And what do you think was going on? And we need to, wow, that was great listening. You heard more than what she said, Tori. That was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And are you listening? Mom's birthday's coming up soon. Are you kind of listening for what you think she'd like? You know, I need your help on that. I think we need to teach them to hone their skills. I think that's a very, very important thing. But we need to affirm it when we see it happen, and we need to find those places where they know. There were a couple of places my children knew that got me completely. And one child was always very good. The other child, the boy child, I will admit, I had to distract his hands to get his ears listening.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of typical though, right?
I think so. I think it is. He's phenomenal today. But initially, while he's putting things together, we put models together, and somebody said, wow, you guys put a lot of models together. And neither one of us really, to be honest with you, we blew them all up with cherry bombs. Neither one of us cared about the models. We would launch the aircraft carrier and the little sailboat in the backyard and blow it up. It ended up, we realized it was just spending this time together and having an excuse to talk.
I think even modern day families too are playing video games, grouping together, dad and son versus or whatever, or just doing these games where you have to work together in a team and they're communicating. I mean, my husband does that.
As long as they are communicating, as long as it's bigger than the adventure in front of them, as long as whatever they're doing is such a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. That they're actually hearing each other's heart. As long as dad is seeing we're doing something that doesn't require a whole lot of mental, so that I can say, hey, why are we doing this? I want to talk to you about this. Which was always great for fun little projects around the house. Roby, help me come fix this thing. And while we're doing that, and hand me the screwdriver. And you know, I heard you and Tori last night. Wow, that was pretty heated. What was that all about? And just let them talk. Mm-hmm. And then, well, what did you think Tori meant? But then also, did you listen to her?
Mm-hmm. And that's key, because what you're saying is not just asking open-ended questions about whatever. Oh, so what's your favorite color these days? Or some simple question. But taking a situation that happened in the house. What did you think of this? What did you, and rethinking or reliving those past moments and using them as examples and platforms and ways where you can listen to the child and try to hear their heart from what just happened in the house.
Yeah. And as we're listening, teaching them to listen, well, what do you think Roby meant when he came back that aggressively? What was going on? What happened at school? What do we know? Were you listening beyond the words? But I think one of the most significant things we can do is when we actually see them attempting to do this, we've got to go crazy and just absolutely cheer. This is one of the most missing elements in the marriage today, this whole listening process. Mm-hmm. And what happens is it becomes very, very stressful in a marriage, because marriage is supposed to be the cushion we come back to from the difficulties out there in this world. But we don't come back to a cushion. We come back to this sterile aluminum wall and ceiling and floor where there's no comfort. Mm-hmm. And the comfort comes from somebody who's listening, somebody who thinks what I have to say is valuable. And here's what happens. Then we find this woman whose husband's not listening, and she goes off to work, and there's somebody at work who's listening and looking her in the eye and affirming her and affirming her worth and affirming her opinion about things. And all of a sudden, before she realizes, she's having an emotional affair with this guy. Mm-hmm. She's looking in the parking lot to see if his car's here today. Is he going to be at work? And all because there's this need to be affirmed. Is anybody listening? I want to raise my children to go out the door to be the kind of person people say, you know, he's a great listener, man. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he keeps his mouth shut. He opens his mouth to pull more out of you, and he makes us a better team here at work, or a better team here at church, or a better team at home, because he's a constructive listener. That takes training. Mm-hmm. No one will train that but the family. No one will make that kind of investment. So where are your platforms for that? Is it the back patio? Is it when you're getting ready to go someplace? Take a child. Mm-hmm. a child. You're going to Lowe's to pick something up. Take a child. You're going to Meals to Go. Take a child. And take the child you don't want to take. Let me just say that. The last child you want to take is the one, oh my goodness, honey, I do not want to take that child. That's the child you take. And that's the child you do the listening with. Everybody needs to know they're worth listening to. If not, they may end up doing bizarre behavior to get listened to by somebody else. Take the time. Find the venue and the platform to listen to your child.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want more resources on marriage, on parenting, and really developing that relationship with your child and training them to listen well, to be marriageable and employable, there's a lot you can find on Sheridan House Family Ministries website. That's shfm.org. And you can hear this program again, podcast it. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook. There's even an Android app we have available for this program, and the resource is also a daily blog that goes along with this program. That's all online at parentingtoday.org. You'll find it all there on one site, parentingtoday.org. And we'll see you here tomorrow for more on the topic of the how-tos of listening here on Parenting Today.